Welcome to the Forging Honor Podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at The Forge, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing weekly challenges to build character through action. We are by no means experts, just two young Christian men trying to make sense of a wild world.
That's right. We're doing our best to learn and hope you'll join us on the journey. And if you want to get directly involved, go to forginghonor.com to find information on how to join our community.
This is episode 11, Living by the Word.
I can't believe we've done more than 10 episodes now.
I know. It's an ongoing journey.
Very much so. All right. Well, this previous challenge was probably one of the more time-intensive challenges. And for that reason, I did terribly. But just a reminder, challenges last for 10 days. That's Monday through Friday for 2 weeks. They are theoretically simple daily tasks to grow us as men. This previous challenge was to write a chapter of scripture, physically write out a chapter of scripture every day. I only did 3 of those, and Banjo did 8. This was easily my worst one of the challenges we've done so far.
Well, I will note for folks who listen to the show and who are not on the Discord, who might be doing the challenges at home, there was a discussion that happened on the Discord, I think Monday, maybe Tuesday, where we did discuss the length of the passage that would fit for the challenge. And I think what we ended up deciding after having done the challenge for a day or two that a full chapter of scripture was a lot longer than we anticipated. So I think probably most of us who did the challenge didn't do full sections of chapters, but right, more did sections. So we should acknowledge that at the outset.
Well, and it's, yeah, it a full chapter of scripture to read it doesn't take that long. And when we first pitched the challenge, it was like, man, this seems like it should be easy to write a whole chapter out. I will say I found a lot of value in what I wrote out, and I already, like, just having a better outline in my mind for what I wrote, understanding kind of the flow. So I did stuff from 1 Timothy.
Oh, nice.
So that was good because it's written specifically to a young man. I guess I don't know how old Timothy was at the time, but younger than Paul. So written to someone kind of in my shoes. Now, Timothy was going to be a pastor and a missionary, which is something I'm not, but much of what was said is very applicable. So that was good in the sense of I felt like I was writing out something that very much applied to my life.
Yeah. Did you write only from 1 Timothy, or was it, was 1 Timothy, I assume?
Yeah, I was going to do 1 and 2, and I did not make it to 2.
Yeah.
Having only done 3 days of it. However, those 3 chapters I wrote out were very beneficial. So it's even in small doses, like I think this is something where, you know, if you have a Saturday or a Sunday time, this is better as a weekly thing almost.
Right, like once a week.
Yeah. Like if you were to get up on Sunday morning before church and take the time to write out a chapter of scripture or to write out the passage that the pastor is going to be preaching on, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that could be really beneficial actually.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Because I was really enjoying it. This was the last thing that I did every day. So I would do my whole deal, get ready for bed, and then my wife would get in bed, and I would come out in the kitchen, and I would write at the kitchen table, and it was just very meditative and very calming and relaxing, but also I have a very hard time doing like devotional times. Cause I just don't do, I don't know if anyone else is like this, but I do not do well with like, all right, I'm going to be still and quiet and focusing on just one thing for 15, 20 minutes. It's something I need to work on, but I found that the process of writing for the days that I did the challenge, the process of sitting down and writing,
like physically writing.
Yeah, physically writing, and not on a keyboard too. Like actually taking the pen really helped just slow the brain, focus the mind, and just concentrate. And it struck me just how many individual words would kind of like pop off the page that I hadn't really noticed before. Just in writing the word itself down, I would go, oh, I hadn't really noticed that that word.
And what there. Passage? What passage were you going through?
It was so, yeah. So I did a couple of different ones. I started with Proverbs 4. So kind of similar to what you were saying with 1 Timothy, a similar idea of something that's written to young men about wisdom. So that was helpful. Proverbs 4. And then I did Psalm 131, which was very short. And then I did Romans 12. Romans 12 is another one I did, which has more to do with Christian living, kind of some of the basics of Christian living. So that was helpful. And then I wrapped up what I really wanted to do, and I wish I had more time to do this. I really wanted to write out one of the short letters of the New Testament in its entirety. And I just didn't have time to do it. But I wrote out the last little section of Jude verses 17 through 25.
Nice. So what was the kind of pattern in choosing these? Or was it just, I want to write something and pick something? Like what was the purpose?
So there was a different reason for each one. Proverbs, the focus was, let me look at wisdom literature, specifically wisdom to young men, looking at, and I think especially in Proverbs 4, there's an emphasis that's put on words that I thought was interesting. I have taught you, let's see if I find this right. Where did it go? Hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. There's this emphasis on the words themselves, a focus on how valuable the words are. And so I thought, oh, well, perfect. This will work in well. So I divided that up over a couple of days with Proverbs 4, Psalm 131. I'll admit that one was because it was short. It was just good and sweet. Like
shortest. You didn't do 117. That's the shortest one.
That's the shortest one. Yeah. But I thought it was good and helpful. This is the one that starts, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord. I can't read my handwriting. For this time forth and forevermore. This is the danger of writing out by hand when your penmanship is about the level of a third grader.
I found myself having to slow down and go, okay, let's work through this.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. I hadn't written down things of this length in a while because we've done honor journal challenges. But it's amazing. A chapter of scripture in my little journal would take up several pages, whereas most of my journal entries are half a page. Like, it's not much relative in size. It got me really thinking about the time and effort that the original authors put in. Especially because, well, have you heard about the monks that would take the time to write out passages of scripture? And they would go much slower intentionally so as not to mess anything up.
Right. And each page was a work of art. I mean, it wasn't just that it was like the text. It wasn't just that the ideas behind the text were important. It was each page itself was, I mean, intricate and designed and just, you know, a magnificent work of art in and of itself. My pages were not that way.
Yeah, well, mine looked like just a long journal entry, I guess. I think the number one thing I appreciated, kind of going back to some of what you're saying, like certain words jumping out. For me, because I was working through something Paul wrote, wasn't so much the words as it was, I understood some of the grammar better going through. This long sentence, when I took the time to really slow down and work through it, just because I had to write it out, some of the train of thought and some of the purpose really started to make a lot more sense.
Yeah. Romans is like that too. I've been doing a Bible study with a men's group at my church that's being led by some excellent fellows, my pastor and another guy in our church, just doing a great job leading that. But we are inching our way through the first couple of chapters and so much of the first two chapters are just these fragmented run-on sentences that are incredibly difficult to parse in English. I can't even imagine how difficult they must be to divvy out in the original language. But it did, like you were saying, looking at each sentence and the way they were framed and seeing, oh, this is where the comma is. And, oh, I didn't realize this was a semicolon and all these things. Looking at Romans 12, which was the other one that I did, the long list of kind of this is what Christian living looks like. It was really helpful to see, oh, this is how the grammar works and functions. And it's just interesting to think the way that our knowledge of our faith is passed down in writing. You know, it's not an oral tradition that we have. It's not a visual tradition we have. It's a written tradition. You know, Christians, Jews were people of the book, people of the word. And I've always found that fascinating.
Well, and it helps scriptures endure, but it also allows, you know, we're communicating in a way with, say, Paul or David or Solomon differently by the fact that we're reading the very words they wrote, mm-hmm. and that they took the time to write these words and pass them down to us. It kind of made me, just with the amount of time it took me to write this stuff out, I went, I don't know, my pastor this last Sunday, he said, you know, do you consider that the time you spend on social media is taking away from the time you could be spending in scripture?
Mm-hmm.
And that was convicting that was smack in the middle of the challenge, you know, in the middle of the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that was convicting because, yeah, there's writing out scripture felt like it took a long time, but really it was maybe 15, 20 minutes, depending on the length of the passage. Finding even 20 minutes in a day though, can seem difficult in the moment. I don't know. I was convicted on that front and realized, man, I really don't, like, I'll take the time in the morning to read my scripture. Then I don't sit and take the time to read through, like, really delve into scripture in a way I think we should.
Yeah. And I think working through that, like working through the text and writing it out, one of the things I appreciated about it is there's I think intrinsically to it, and I could be wrong about this, I'm willing to be wrong about this, but I think intrinsic in writing out the words of scripture, there's something that's very you can't just be surface level. You can't just skim through it.
Right. You have to appreciate it. You have to understand it in order to write it out well.
Yeah, you have to wrestle with it and really meditate on it. And it's not just I'm going to look at it really quick and I'm going to brush it under the rug, which is why it takes time, which is why it I think was a difficult challenge for us, was it implicitly demands our time and demands our respect. Interesting what you're saying with social media. Lately, I've been revisiting Aaron Sorkin's 2010 phenomenal movie, directed by David Fincher, The Social Network. Have you seen that one, JJ?
I have not.
It's fantastic. You should absolutely give it a watch. It's a not entirely historically accurate depiction of Mark Zuckerberg's creation of Facebook.
The Facebook.
Well, it was originally the Facebook, but...
Oh, that's right. That's funny. I forgot about that.
It's a big deal in the movie. Anyway, are you familiar at all with the story of how Facebook started?
I mean, just only a little bit insofar as, yeah, he was a college student and it was designed for college students. That's pretty much what I know about it.
Yeah. So he gets the idea in college, and one of the things that is you could say the inciting incident of the idea, both in the movie and in real life, is he creates this site in kind of this drunken, rage-filled night. He creates this website called FaceMash, where the idea is there are pictures of men and women, and you're comparing the two people, the two images side by side on your laptop, and you're ranking which one is more attractive. And that was the original code for some of what it would eventually be in Facebook. And from there it would go on.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, which is a really interesting place for that company to start. Right. And so, you know, and that is implicit in the DNA of the company all the way through the rest of its days up to the present day. And you can see that different ways in real life and in the movie and in history and all that. But anyway, just thinking about that fundamental nature of what Facebook is or what social media has become, which is a surface level, look at this photo versus this photo, right? Look at this idea versus this idea, not in a in-depth analysis, but in a soundbite and in a photograph. And we don't take this kind of time to work through page by page, word by word, line by line, the way we used to. You know, thought is transmitted so quickly across the internet.
That goes back to our conversation we were having a few episodes ago, kind of on, yeah, like the YouTube shorts versus a long form video. Like even that has become difficult for someone to sit down and watch an hour long essay or a presentation on, you know, whatever topic. That takes a lot of time. And yet folks will easily spend that amount of time just scrolling through shorts or Instagram reels or whatever it is they're into these days. And I think we start to treat scripture that way.
Yeah.
When, you know, everything needs a Bible verse or everything needs a quick little, yeah, we'll do the quick prayer. We'll do these things, kind of acknowledge it, but then we don't sit and take the time to actually ponder, you know, how what we're doing in our day-to-day lives actually is either reflecting or not reflecting scripture and the life that we ought to live.
Yeah. And there's a difference between reading the verse of the day, you know, on the Bible app.
Right.
You know, or something like that, and really getting an in-depth understanding of what a passage says or how does this apply to my life, you know. And I think we need to acknowledge that there is a difference between, you know, for lack of a better analogy, and I say this not to so much, you know, I don't want to point the finger at other people so much as I want to point the finger at myself in this. You know, there's a real solid difference between looking Christian and acting Christian, between putting on all of the bells and whistles of Christianity and living it out, you know, in a full and true manner. And I think we need to be really careful not to confuse the two, which sure. I think is something that you and I, JJ, as hosts of this particular podcast, have to be extremely careful about, you know, because we've made this claim in what we're doing here of, you know, we're here to explore what it means to be Christian men, you know, and if we mutate our mission, you know, from let's explore it to this is what masculinity is, this is what Christian masculinity is, or if we're to say, well, we're doing all of these habits, we're putting on all these habits each week, you know, we look pretty good. You know, if we're not really living out those truths that we're reading in these scriptures, we're you know, we are of men most to be pitied, to quote some wise man.
Some wise man.
I think he wrote some books, probably in the Bible.
No, it was mostly letters. He didn't write books.
You're right, letters.
No, you're right though, and the thing that keeps the thing I keep thinking about is, yeah, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yeah.
Right. What does it mean to love something is a huge part of our faith. And I think where our mind goes and what we want to spend time on and where our mind should go and where we should spend time are not always in alignment. And I think that's the number one thing I kind of discovered through this challenge was I think, oh man, I need to go write out my scripture. That is the wrong way to be approaching that. But once I was writing it, I didn't want to stop. Right.
Right. Yeah.
I wanted to keep doing it. And so I think kind of the point, or what I discovered there was, yeah, the more I do this, the more I delve into scripture, the more I'm going to want to.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I was listening, there was had a men's gathering this last week. And we had a young man our age. He does evangelism, and he's studying to go to the Middle East.
Oh wow!
But he does street ministry here in Middle Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
And he said there are days he usually goes in on Saturdays up to the downtown Nashville, and he says there are days he's driving up there, he just doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to be talking about this. He's like, who's going to listen to me? And then maybe he'll only have one or two conversations with somebody about the gospel. But he says the drive home, he always feels great because he's been talking about the Lord God and been talking about the word.
Yeah.
And that really impacted me because, yeah, I'll be like, I don't want to read right now. I don't want to take the time to study this passage. I don't want to go to church and sit for however many minutes and listen to this. But then, yeah, he's exactly right. Once I'm in it and then after I've done it, I feel so much better. Everything.
Yeah. It's
amazing that scripture has that power over us in that way.
Yeah. And so much of that comes from knowing what the words actually say. Like, not everyone who reads scripture, who skims across the surface of scripture, right? Gets that comfort, gets that renewal, gets that peace, right? Maybe this is a tangent, and if so, we can totally cut it. My wife and I this week, we went to a classical music concert, in Williamsport. We went and saw the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra, and it was stunning. I mean, it was incredible. But going into it, I was exhausted. Like, my tank was on full empty. Like, Maggie had to drive the car to get there because I was like about to fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
And as we got to the show, I was like, I am so afraid that I am just going to fall asleep at this performance, because it's classical music. And you know, what's more tempting than to fall asleep listening to classical music?
I've done that many, many, many times.
But I mean, as soon as the first note like rang out in the concert hall, I mean, I was enthralled. I was wide awake. And I just could not, I couldn't look away it was a full 2 hour, like 2 hour show. And I could not look away. I was totally entranced by this, this full orchestra playing, Tchaikovsky. And this woman was playing, I cannot for the life of me remember what the name of the piece was. It was a Russian piano concerto, and if I could remember it, I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. So, there's that. But anyway, it was electric. I mean, when the woman finished, we were all standing on our feet, like full on encore performance. I mean, it was incredible. But my wife and I, as we were driving back home, we were talking about how, this kind of live performance of classical music. The other alternative for us that night was to drive home, to skip the concert, and to watch TV, right? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I wouldn't have left a night of TV feeling the same way as I did leaving the concert. There's something about, and I don't know if it's live performance or if it's just great art or if it's just, doing something in community. Because you go to a live concert like this and it's the whole city comes out to watch the show, to listen to the show. I don't know what element of those is, what part of it is that makes it this way, but there's something about that kind of an event. It could be a live theater performance too, or I don't know, great oratory, but that enlivens you, that ennobles you, that brings something extra to your spirit, that makes you more human and more alive. And I think there's something in it that connects us to God in that way, where we are connected to the transcendent, you know, and leave the imminent, leave the common, leave the profane, so to speak. And I think we see that reading these, you know, these very holy words in the Bible and writing them out and making them a part of our life, and that kind of a thing. So I don't know. Have you ever had that experience coming out of a, I don't know, like a live show or a,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if it happens in movies. I think it might happen in some movies, but I'm not entirely sure.
I have been to a couple of showings where, yeah, the feeling's just electric. It's usually some, you know, one of the bigger films that's been highly anticipated.
Yeah.
Trying to remember. Yeah. There've been a couple of Marvel films where that happens. Like some of the
Endgame was kind of like,
yeah,
that.
Endgame was that way, just with how, and it was a good film. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can knock on Marvel all you want. Yeah. They kind of have the same formula at this point and they rinse and repeat. But yes, there are some moments that they have built up to and they've taken the time to build up to that just, I mean, they knock your socks off. And some movies I think can be that way. More so it's been when I've, yeah, like musical concerts are really, I think, the most common place that happens. A big show where everyone is fully invested in the artist and the music that is happening. Just,
yeah.
Whether it's classical or whether it's a big show here in Nashville, you know, I've been to a few here. Artists that I like, and yeah, you don't really have words for it afterwards.
Yeah.
There was one movie went and watched 1917.
Oh, that was a great movie.
It was phenomenal. That one, we're on a massive tangent now, we can circle back around, but that one, it was the opposite. It wasn't so much that everyone was just, you know, on their feet applauding. It was dead silence.
Mm-hmm.
For like 15 minutes in that theater. No one said it. You could, I mean,
yeah.
Most quiet I've ever heard a theater after a showing in a everyone was captivated kind of way.
Yeah. Nobody wants to break the spell.
Exactly. No one wanted to move or yeah, rustle any jackets or anything. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Don't break the spell. It was that kind of showing.
Yeah. That was the last movie I saw before the pandemic hit.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That was the last one. The other movie I've had like that was A Quiet Place. I saw A Quiet Place in theaters.
That was similar experience for sure.
Yeah. I remember one guy opened a can of soda and the whole theater just went, shh.
That's everyone turned into a librarian.
It was great. But I think there is something about that where, you know, there's something special about those moments because I think, you know, nobody is being treated like a product in those moments, or even no one is being treated, I think, as a consumer in some sense. You know, last episode we were talking about, you know, these economic mindsets that we're in. And I think there's a lot of truth to what, you know, our fantastic guest Elias was saying. But I think there's something beautiful when people are not treated as primarily consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we come to a musical performance, right, there's a difference between going to a really good classical music concert, I think, and going to, you know, an enormous sold out show, you know, where, and in fairness, I may be biased here, because I have not been to many, let me say this a different way. I haven't been to any large sold out concert.
So there's your issue then. Yeah, if it's an artist you truly love and everyone in the room truly loves, you get that feeling. If you go and you're just going to watch the music and you can tell people aren't really into it, they're on their phones, that kind of thing. It's a massive difference. I went to a 21 Pilots concert, which
I bet listeners, that was fun.
Whatever you think about 21 Pilots, they put on a great show and everyone in that room is 100% and fully on board. And we are there for it entirely. Like every movement on that stage is being watched by thousands of people and everyone's singing along the entire time. And it's just an incredible experience. You can't replicate that.
But when you do that, I guess here's my question. When you're interacting with with the band in that moment, you know, with 21 Pilots in that moment, do you see them as owing you something, or that you owe them something?
It's kind of both and. I mean, they've already, like, I could go listen to their music wherever, whenever I wanted, right?
Yeah.
I could stream it. But going and seeing in person allows the audience to kind of become a part of it.
Yeah. Right?
It's more than just, here's this cool musical performance. And there are musical performances I've gone, you know, if you ever go to like a jazz lounge or something, everyone's right. sitting there super captivated yeah. by what exact musical stuff is happening. And I don't understand that as much as I'd like to. But when it comes to, here's this big event where everyone gets to fully participate in this incredible show, right? Because I'm not just sitting there stoically
yeah,
being told, and here's the music that is happening.
Right.
And 21 Pilots does this really well, just the audience participation going on and everybody getting fully involved. And I mean, I've been to other, I went to a Sting concert a summer or two ago. And that one was less of that electric feeling within the 21 Pilots, like the 21 Pilots concert had, and more the, we so appreciate the music Sting has put out.
Yeah.
And everyone is just excited to see Sting, right? It's kind of a different thing.
Yeah. I guess what I'm wondering is it that participation that makes those moments come alive, right?
I think so.
Because there isn't that participation in sitting at home and watching a movie.
Except right? a good movie makes you, gets your emotions to participate well.
That's true.
And that's one of the reasons, it's one of the only reasons I still like going to the theater. Because when something is on the big screen, you feel like you're in it in a way you don't when it's on your little laptop screen at home.
Oh, yeah. And the more so when you go to see it in a movie theater, I think, when there's a crowd, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like this summer, the two movies that I am absolutely going to go see in theaters this summer are Into the Spider-Verse. No, sorry. Across the Spider-Verse. Apparently, I got this wrong earlier today.
The name?
No. It's the same name. It's the same name that it's been since it released, but it's a different name from the original movie. So this is the sequel. The original was Into the Spider-Verse. This one is Across the Spider-Verse. I was corrected on this morning. I'm making sure I get this right later today. Anyway, time is funny when you normally record in the morning and you're recording at a different time. It's a total throw off. Anyway, so I'm definitely going to see Across the Spider-Verse and then Oppenheimer.
I'm looking forward to that one, yeah.
And I'm going to go see that in IMAX, and I'm hoping to see it with friends who will, like, communicate with me, like, during that time and be like, can you believe what's happening right now? Like, where we'll get to participate in the shock and the awe of Christopher Nolan doing the equivalent of dropping an atom bomb, which I'm sure he basically did filming this thing.
They built one just for him.
Well, I know that they did the effect. I know that they detonated the equivalent of a nuclear bomb without actually blowing one up.
Wow. I did not know that. That's crazy.
You should check it out. It's going to be a great movie. Anyway, I'm going to go see those movies in theaters, both of them, with people that I know, because we'll get to participate together in that, and that will make that so much more special than seeing it at home on the small screen.
It's true.
And I think all of this is, I mean, we've wandered pretty far afield from where we started.
Vastly.
Which is, I think, what the gift of podcasting is. Like, that's just what you get to do when you're on a podcast.
I think it all relates in the sense of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, watching a feature-length film, taking the time to sit down and do that, if it's a good film, is so much more worth it than watching, you know, YouTube shorts that are 6 seconds long for an hour.
Well, I think at the heart of this challenge, too, is, you know, I think one of the things we discovered across the course of these 10 episodes is often we have this idea for, well, we think we should do this. Why should we do this thing? Why should we do this challenge? And we're like, well, we don't really know why we should do the challenge, but we know that it's a good thing to do. So let's do it. And then as we do it, as we work through it, and then as we talk about it afterwards, we kind of figure out, oh, wait, here's some of the value in it. And I think in this particular challenge, you know, this idea of participating in our lives is super important. And I, you know, that sounds probably pretty cheesy and like something that goes on the back of a t-shirt, but like, I think it bears saying,
because poster
on a cap. Yeah. Participate in your own life. Meow.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. And I think you're right. I think maybe a better way of putting it is, invest whatever you truly love, you should be investing your time in that, right? That's not a new thing. People could say that and they know that. But I think what I got from this was I need to reconsider what I evidently love and by what I'm spending my time on. Because clearly I did not spend the time as I ought have, or as I ought to have, and as I desired to spend in scripture over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I think I'm pretty sure this is Paul says, you know, do not be conformed to the passions of this world, but renew your mind by the power of Christ. I want to say, I need a fact check on that.
You should work on your memorization there.
I should. That's something I should participate in more. But still, the idea of we're going to renew our mind by reading scripture, like it's not just that we need to participate in the things that we love, that we evidently love. We need to have our loves changed, right? Like the Holy Spirit needs to work in our hearts to work in us to desire God more, which we do through the reading of scripture and through prayer. Hmm. Because we can't desire those things without God. Right. But those desires have to be changed in order for us to, you know, to take full ownership of that relationship. But even more so, I think just this idea of, you know, whatever it is that we do, we need to be present in it. Like we can't just glance across our Bibles and call it reading scripture. You know, that doesn't mean we need to write it out every day, but we do need to take ownership of it.
We need to dwell in it more.
Yeah. I think that's a great word for it. Like dwell in it, because that means, you know, that can mean spending time in it, but it also means like living in it, like living your life by it, making mm-hmm. your existence in it. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Dwell in it is a great point.
All right, on to the next challenge. As a reminder, challenges last for 10 days. That's Monday through Friday for 2 weeks. They are simple daily tasks to grow as men, and this one hopefully will be more simple for us in some ways than the previous. But we are going to be exploring for probably the next couple of episodes the ideas of fasting. So there are a number of fads and ideas about fasting out there in this world. So we're not going to necessarily pick any particular one right now, right? So Benji, we were talking about this before. Would you mind kind of recapping some of what we were discussing?
Yeah. So, you know, in our last episode with Elias, we were talking about, you know, consumer culture. We were talking about kind of the world we live in, kind of surrounded by these ads. This last episode, we talked about scripture and living in the word and dwelling in the word. And as we were reflecting on some of these things earlier in the challenge this week, JJ and I were talking about, well, it'd be really interesting to kind of combine these two and talk about one of those spiritual disciplines that I think really gets overlooked in our consumer culture and in our very comfortable age and our very comfortable position. And that discipline that gets overlooked is fasting. Now, some of our listeners probably have taken time to figure out what fasting is and maybe have done it themselves. But fasting is not that has not been part of my tradition. That has not been part of my practice. And it's something that I feel lacking in, mostly because it's something that's in scripture. It's commanded in scripture, and not something that I've done. So I feel like that needs to be something that I'm stepping up in. JJ, I don't know if you feel similarly.
Yes and no. I have intentionally fasted several times. in my life, although it's not a consistent thing. So it's one of those things where I inevitably approach it from one of two angles and they don't combine as they ought to. One, I can be, yes, I'm going to do a spiritual fast, take the time, you know, if I'm feeling hungry and use that time for prayer instead. And that I have not done very often, a few times kind of usually during the Lententide season. And then the other form is I'm going to do something for my health, which usually takes the form of some sort of intermittent fasting, which is a fad going around, has for the last several years. And I think there's probably benefits to it. And that's one where I'll tackle it at different times of my life, kind of just for general health reasons, or if I'm trying to kind of grow in my exercise routine, that can be intermittent fasting can be a great way to help regulate my body and the food I'm eating. So I think the key is, how do you combine them? Because I think there are lots of health benefits to fasting. So part of this challenge, I would encourage, especially in the first week, folks to take the time to go research fasting. Go find an article or two. Go find some information out there on, you know, what do you think fasting is. Find some spiritual resources on it as well. And then learn how to combine the two. I think because if you do one without the other, you're really cutting yourself short. If you only do fasting for health reasons, you're completely missing the point of fasting in the first place, period. Right? It's a spiritual thing. That's clear in scripture. And if you only focus on the spiritual side, then I think you're missing out on a lot of the benefits that come from obeying God's commands.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I haven't really ever even thought about fasting from a health perspective. That's always seemed to me to be, I don't know, I guess because I'm always hungry. So it's like, from my brain, it's like, I don't think I see the health benefit here. I see the spiritual benefit. That makes sense. But I have no understanding of the science.
Well, that's something I think, so I'll send some articles and we'll share them in the Discord this week. So feel free to, any listeners that are not in the Discord, go to our website and join the Discord. It's free to join. But I'll throw some articles out there. And I know especially like Art of Manliness has a lot of stuff on things like intermittent fasting or how to fast. And then there's a book I've mentioned several times on this podcast. I'll share that again as well, that has a whole chapter on the discipline of fasting as a spiritual discipline. When it comes to, the health benefits, like I don't need it for health or weight regulation or anything like that. Like I don't have health issues in that sense. It's more, when I'm regularly sticking to some form of intermittent fasting, I feel an improvement in my mind, my brain. It might entirely be mental. It might be because I'm actually processing the food as I ought to be, or because I'm not accidentally overeating, right? I have a great metabolism, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I need to be eating every time I'm hungry, right? And I've gone back and forth on how to implement fasting into my life. So I think this will be interesting. So just want to be clear. The challenge right now is, Banjo,
you want me to say your
idea.
Yeah, okay. So we'll do this. Here's the challenge. Week one, research fasting. Figure out what that path is going to look like for you, how you want to do it. And I will say, I think if folks are uncomfortable with the idea of, you know, fasting from food or not wanting to take that route, I think it is that's totally appropriate. And for some folks,
social media fasts are getting popular.
Yeah, do the thing, as they say, do as you feel led. In no way, shape, or form are we saying you have to do this, or that, you know, everybody's spiritual walk must look like this. This is just something that we're trying. If you're interested in doing fasting and doing a social media fast, or maybe a television fast, electronic fast, I did one time on a dare do a coffee fast, and I've promised not to do that for a long time. Because that
sounds miserable.
It was. Yeah. Most of my friends have made me promise not to do that again. So, which I guess is probably, you know, maybe there's a spiritual weakness at play there that I need to work
that on. I think that could be actually worth be exploring. Like if you are at the point where you can't give something up, even if it's something as, you know, theoretically innocent as coffee, right? Like you're not an alcoholic, but you're a caffeine addict. That's worth considering.
Yeah. So, you know, it may be that I take a caffeine fast. That may be the route I go. I think there's different ways to do it. So whatever path you want to take with it, first week, do your research, find out what's the best way to do it. You know, maybe talk to a pastor, do some online research, do some Bible reading. And then week two, do it. Whatever it is, we'll figure it out. And record it. And then JJ and I will reconvene back here in a couple of weeks and we'll share what we found. And we would love to hear in the Discord. I'm sure this one's going to be tough no matter, you know, what form this takes.
Well, the research week shouldn't be too bad. You know, shouldn't take too much time each day.
Right.
But the second week, once you try to implement whatever method you've chosen, that will be interesting to see results.
So yeah, it would be great to have some camaraderie in the Discord for that, trying to help one another complete the challenge.
The other thing I will say is, as much as social media fasts or media fasts in general can be good, I would encourage folks to lean into the food side. And spoiler alert, in 2 weeks, one thing we're going to be talking about specifically is alcohol. And I think so. Right now for these 2 weeks, I would not necessarily say is the time to intensely focus on that, since we're going to have some dedicated time here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And maybe since we're spoiling a little bit, one of the things that we want to think about in the future is how are we intentional with what we do? How do we kind of like what we talked about today, how are we active participants in those things that we love and that we enjoy? And one of the ways that we wanted to start by doing that is to say that these things don't rule our lives, and that above all else, we're dependent on God, for these things. And so just appreciating those things in their lack, before in the following weeks, in our following challenges, we get to kind of explore what does it mean to enjoy and to be active participants and responsible participants in these things.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
Should be good. All right. Week one of this next week, Monday through Friday, research. Week two, do.
That's it. This has been the Foraging Honor podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at foraginghonor.com. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a rating to bring others into the Foraging Honor journey.
On our website, you'll find information on how to do the challenges alongside us, as well as links to the many resources we mentioned in the show.
And we do make a small amount from any purchases you make through our website link, so thank you in advance.
Thanks for taking time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Foraging Honor. We'll see you next time.